We're going to step out of Romans for today and talk about, since Valentine's Day, and the men are like glazed over. What's Valentine's Day? Well, we're going to talk about love a little bit today. Is it fact or feeling? And we're going to start by reading Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. That's how God feels about us when we give of our lives to serve him and to serve the person that God has given us to be our spouse. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. And Lord, as we worship you today, I pray that you'll speak to us through our minds and into our hearts. We give this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians 5. Last week we mentioned Ephesians 5, starting with verse 25. In accordance with the mystery of marriage. Do you remember the mystery? The two becoming one. How does that work? It's a mystery. It's the same way Ephesians 5 talks about with the church and Jesus Christ. The church being the bride of Christ. And the husband is Christ. It's a mystery. And Jesus loves his church. Let's read it. Ephesians 5, 25 through 33. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you, who you also who is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. I know that Valentine's Day isn't necessarily a religious holiday, but it gives me a chance to talk about one of my favorite topics, and that's love. And the reason and the purpose why God even sent his son is because he loved us. And there's a lot of texts in the Bible talking about love and the reason for love and how to love. We're only going to touch just the tip of the iceberg today on how to love. And to really love. Our society has it mixed up big time. And I probably mentioned this in the past, but the divorce rate in the church is 52%. Of all first-time marriages, 52% end divorce. And that's just as bad as the world. You would think that the church would get it. And we don't learn because second-time marriages, the divorce rate is at 67%. We still don't learn because third-time marriages, their divorce rate is 73%. And so what I'm telling you today, I hope that you're listening because it's important. And it's biblical. And if we were to follow God's standards in our lives and in our marriages, it'd be a different world. I believe, in a lot of ways. If I were to tell you that the consequences or the result of love or being loved does not end with you, most of the world would say, what? Well, if it doesn't end with me, then where does it end? I mean, I'm the recipient of love, right? Am I the recipient of love? What's that? Lots of. God's love. We're recipient of God's love. And God says, because I loved you, love others. We need to love others. God loved you before you were lovable. God died for you even before you accepted him. Can you imagine Jesus on Mount Calvary? I think about this a lot. Jesus is about to be crucified. He's been beaten. He's had a fake trial, and they condemned him to death. And he's on Mount Calvary, and he's on the cross, and they've put a crown of thorns stuck on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. They nailed him to the cross, and they lifted up the cross and dropped it in a hole. And they gambled for his clothes. They ridiculed him, made fun of him, and they said, look at the King of the Jews. It's those people that he died for, the people that were making fun of him. And so if Jesus can love people that don't love him, certainly we can. He's a great, great teacher. Some of you may ask, how do I know that God loves? And I'll love that question. And for those of you who have been in this congregation for the last several years, might even be getting a smile on your face, because one of my favorite questions is, how many of you know what 1 John 3:16 is? And if you didn't hear that question, most people, when I ask that question, they say, for God to love the world that he gave his one and only son. And that's exactly what love is. Jesus Christ died for us, right? But what does 1 John 3:16 say? Anybody know? You're reading it. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Hey, babe, I'm going to pick up the girls.
All right, love you. Said I love you.
Love you too.
You ever do that? You ever tell someone that you love them and you make sure that they say it back? I don't know what it is. I guess sometimes we just need to know where we stand with people. But hasn't it always been that way? I mean, think about it. When we were children, there was a 100% guaranteed reliable method that we used to find out whether or not someone liked us. I mean, it stood the test of time for centuries, and every kid on the planet knew it. You know what I'm talking about? The check the box note. And if you were smart, you would have your best friend to act as courier and then sit there in your seat and wait nervously for the response. Now I have a confession to make. Most children grow out of the check the box phase by middle school. But me, I gave my last check the box yes or no note when I was 27 years old. Now, before you judge me, just listen to my story. It was a Sunday morning and there I was at church. While everyone else was singing, all I could do was think about the beautiful lady who was just sitting three seats down from me. I had known her for a few months and we had talked, just how you doing and what's up, that kind of stuff. But I wanted more and I just had to know if she felt the same way. So while everyone else was listening to the pastor, I sat there strategizing the best way to find out how she felt. And then it hit me. So I grabbed an offering envelope and one of those pencils that are only used in church and golf carts, and I wrote her the note. I folded the envelope and passed it. I was a nervous wreck. Never in the history of note passing had it taken so long for three people just to deliver a note. Stephanie opened it. She grinned and grabbed a pencil. And by the time I got her message back, my anxiety had taken a nosedive into clinical illness. And now, the moment of truth. So what did I do? I bought her something. And here we are 12 years later. I still have the note. I found it in a desk drawer just the other day. And it got me wondering, what does God think about me? I mean, let's be honest, on any given day, we are far less than likable. And wouldn't it be great on one of those days if we could just give a note like this to God, just to make sure that He likes us, that we're in His good graces? And then it hit me. He's already answered the question. He checked the box yes. How do I know this? It says it in His Word, His love letter to us. It says in Isaiah 49:16, it says that I have engraved your name on the palm of my hand. He checked yes. I mean, He was all in with His love. It was a definite yes. He even likes us, wants to have a relationship with us. So I don't know if you're ever going to get a love letter like this or if you see one in your near future. But this right here may be the greatest love letter that we could ever receive. He said yes.
Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful that You do love us. And as You teach us in Your Word, in Your love letter, how to love, I pray that You'll work in our hearts. Amen. So, is love fact or feelings? Oh, I like that. Here's Pastor Bruce's answer. Yes. However, you've heard me say that love is something we do, right? And we get taught how and here because it is a factual thing. And so most of what I want to tell you today is facts. Why does Jesus love us? And we'll get to the feelings a little bit later. Fact number one, God called us to belong to Him. Now that's a pretty important fact, wouldn't you say? God of the universe calling us to be a part of His family. I think it's interesting that this is one of the mysteries that we talked about. Ephesians 1:5-6. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Fact two, God showed His love by creating us. He created each one of us Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul searches it very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Fact 3. God showed us love by sending a Savior. He sent somebody so that we would become righteous. God can't look on somebody that's unrighteous, so he sent somebody, his own very own son, to die for us. Maggie, what's John 3:16? He sent his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. I wasn't going to ask you to say John, 1 John 3:16. Yeah. He died for us. Fact 4, God shows his love for us when Christ died for us. 1 John 4:7-10. Listen to this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God is manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, his Son, to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation? What's that? Huh? Atoning sacrifice. Okay, well, what's that? Simply put, it's a pardon. It's a pardon. If you're in court and the judge says, I pardon you, that's what atonement is. A payment for your sins. It's been paid. And Jesus paid the price. Psalm 79:9. Help us, O God, of our salvation for the glory of your name. And deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. Fact 5. God makes us alive. And all of us know that when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we have life eternal, right? We have life everlasting with him forever. But even right now, there's so much life that we're missing out if we ignore his truth. We live in a life of despondency and guilt and suffering inside of our heart. Jesus gives us life. John 10:10. The thief comes to kill. Who's the thief? Huh? Satan, the devil. The thief comes to kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Yeah. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world, Jesus says. Grab hold of Jesus and live and get that life. Fact 6. Jesus shows us that he loves us by praying for us. Now, how cool is that? Did you know that? Right now, Jesus is praying for you. And when you when you're at home at night or in the morning and you're in the middle of some huge tribulation and you simply don't know how to pray, guess what? Jesus is praying through you. Romans 8:33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. And then verse 37, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. It's only through the love of Jesus that we can conquer things here on earth. Okay. So we have all the facts, probably not all of them, but we have many facts. So why do the feelings get mixed up in this? Because if you think about love, what do you think of? A married couple or a young teenage couple and they break up and what's broken? Their heart. The feelings are disturbed. So we tie love with feelings. Why? Huh? Well, that's part of it. It doesn't involve God, but still, even believers get their hearts broken. I'm going to put this as simple as I can, because our bodies are complicated. We are made up of three different parts, our body, soul, and mind. And they're all intertwined with everything else. Your hearts and your minds and your bodies are all together. Let me ask you, how many are married or ever were married? Raise your hand. Okay. Do you or, maybe that's a good question. Do you feel like you love your spouse? Do you feel like you love your spouse all the time? Do you feel like you love your wife? That's unusual. You know it's a fact. Or you'd get in trouble if you didn't say that, right? See, most of us, we know that we love our spouse, but there are times in our married life where we do not feel that either they love us or that we love them. The human mind and the human heart is so fickle. We get into a little splat over over squabble over something so small sometimes as you didn't put gas in the gas tank. Oh, I hit a nerve. We are so fickle here in our own hearts. So there are times, many times when we don't feel like I'm loved, or I don't feel like I am loving. But it's a decision that we make. It's a decision. It's an action. It's a mind thing that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we love that person. And we need to continue through that. And yet there's feelings. Do you remember Jesus in the garden? He was praying, and what did he say to his father? Father, please take this cup from me. Did he feel like going the rest of the way? He knew what was coming. He knew the agony of death, and he knew that he was going to be ridiculed and beat up on. He knew that. And yet, because of the love that he had for his Father and the love that he had for us, he went through with that love and he died, even though he didn't feel like it at that moment. Luke 22:41-42. And he withdrew from them a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet, but not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was willing to suffer because he loved us. He loved us. So where do the feelings come from? I'm going to step out on a limb here. Men, in particular, ladies would never admit this, but have you ever had a nose hair? It wasn't there yesterday. It wasn't there yesterday, but all of a sudden it keeps itching you on the corner, and all of a sudden it's like 3 inches long. No. And it just keeps tickling you. And you grab that little nose hair and you yank it. And that nerve is connected to every part of your... Ooh. Am I right? Am I the only one that's done that? Our bodies are all intertwined. That's why the Bible says that we need to be in tune with God's Word, because His Word fills our mind. And hopefully it sinks down in and falls that 12 inches between our head and our heart. We need to be intertwined with Jesus, our whole bodies. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he who is willing to bring it to pass. We are made in God's image. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all three one. But they work as one, and they're all tied together. And we are made in his image. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. We are made in his image. Paul in Romans 12, listen to this, he puts it like this. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we need to renew our mind. Not conform to the world, but we need to renew our mind by his word so that we can live for him. Amen? Do not let your emotions get the best of you. Do not let your feelings overrule what you know to be true. Do you remember Dr. Spock or Mr. Spock? How many are old enough to remember Mr. Spock? No emotions, all logic. There we go. How boring is that, huh? James 1:20. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. We need to control our emotions. We need to be righteous in the way we act and respond to people. We feel love and joy and happiness and guilt and anger and disappointment and fear. We feel all of those things. But how do we respond in those things? How do we respond in those things? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober alert. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. If the devil cannot win over you, he will discourage you. He will discourage you because that's a feeling and it's real. Discouragement takes over. Again, in Romans 6, 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body as sin, as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. But for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Jesus was a man of emotions. Did you know that? He became emotional when his good friend Lazarus died. He became angry when they were treating his father's temple in a disrespectful way. But he knew how to handle his emotions in a godly way. Listen to me. We need to know how to handle our emotions. Control yourself. Hang on to what you know is truth. Be logical, yet caring for those who love you. I think the Lord gave me a good benediction. Did you hear what I said? I didn't pick this. I think the Lord gave me a good benediction today. Proverbs 16, 1 through 3. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answers of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Good words for us today. Have a good week.